Question 105. Did you never read in the scriptures? Matthew 21:16. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Matthew 21:42. And Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Our Lord's question here, ask more than is written. If one listens with the Spirit, one can hear more than one reads. Here are two examples of the same question. Did you never read in the Scriptures? He's trying to call to our remembrance a text, a prophecy, a parallel, or metaphor. It is as though recalling it in our memory will create a resultant connection. This is the way that prophecy is supposed to be interpreted. The common way it was done then, and is done yet today, is based in our morbid human fascination for future fortune-telling. Not much different than tarot cards or crystal balls. These folks already had in mind an idea of Messiah that Jesus had to dispel before room in their understanding could be made for truth. What's occupying the place of truth in your heart? Perhaps the true understanding of prophecy can't be realized until a false one is removed. Jesus did these people a great favor by giving them insight into their error of scriptural interpretation. We should appreciate that he gave us these examples of their omissions and misinterpretations to show us the possibility of such occurrences in our thinking. The church in our world has such errors in their interpretations as well. Not that certain examples may be pointed out in this writing or any other. It just stands to reason that where cloudy prophecy and selfish men meet, there'll be error. Men are constantly citing and repeating scripture to prove a point, make a case, justify their doctrine, or vilify another's. When asked questions about future events or things they don't know, they speculate by interpreting and applying some vague prophecy. In doing so, hoops and hurdles, if you will, are set up for future events to jump through and over to prove it is a fulfillment of prophecy. True prophecy and fulfillments overcome such foolishness. The Pharisees and their following were convinced that this man, Christ, could not be who he claimed to be, simply because he did not fulfill their understanding of who Messiah would be. Even today, the second coming has a whole set of hoops and hurdles in its path that modern theology has set out for the returning Christ. The day of the Lord is not even allowed to come until a list of prophecies laid out for its fulfillment to the satisfaction of some theologian. One can hear said, judgment cannot come today because such and such prophecy has not been fulfilled. Or they may have even several criteria set up in their mind that has to happen first, and so on. An early example of this occurs in John 7:27. The Pharisees said that he could not be the Christ because they knew where he came from. Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Jesus, frustrated, cries out, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. It's my Father whom ye know not. Anyone can see the danger in this kind of thinking. If Jesus Christ does to the modern theologians what he did to the ones in the past, his coming may not be anything like we expect at all. But when it does come, it will perfectly fulfill all prophecies. Not one jot or one tittle will lack or be left over unfulfilled. What would the modern church do if the return of Christ was not as we've been taught? They of old were not expecting a baby in a manger, though it fulfilled every prophecy perfectly. His coming would be, and probably will be, totally different than we're expecting. And he could ask, as we puzzle over how these things happen without our prior knowledge, did you never read in the scriptures? The Pharisees had in their mind a course of events, an agenda, a line of ancestry, and a conduct that the Messiah would fulfill. They were in the Christ's own presence and did not know it. When they became aware of it, by signs and wonders and irrefutable prophecy, they refused to accept it because their preconceived ideas held greater sway than did even their own internal witness of the heart. Nicodemus was a great example of a religious man struggling with his heart, telling him one thing while his religion was saying another. He visited under the cover of darkness and intended to plead with Christ to help him accept his teachings without destroying his position in the synagogue. Jesus quickly cut to the heart of the matter. He offered him no hope of continuing as he was presently by telling him that he has to start over again from the beginning. He must be born again. One can hear in the Pharisees' answer the desperation of a man about to lose his status as the teacher of all Israel. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" There will come a time when those who are sure of their prophetic understanding and those who have the future all mapped out for us, that they will cry out, "How can these things be?" Consider how many times and dates have been set, how many books have been written, how many names have been given as Antichrist's name, how many more will be. We all, those who tell as well as those who listen, have improperly used prophecy. Why are prophecies given then, you may ask? How should they be utilized? Prophecies should be read, learned, and known, perhaps even memorized, so that when they are fulfilled, the prophecy confirms that fulfillment and helps one to recognize it as such at the moment they occur. They're not given to predict the future, neither to cause panic or repentance. They're certainly not to stimulate the already overdeveloped fascination with future events or to sell books or seminars. Their unique quality is that they are signposts in the road ahead of us that are visible from where we are. You can see them in your future, and although they're fuzzy to read from a distance, as you approach, they come more and more into focus, and as you pass them by, they enlighten and inform and guide and identify. The problem of scripture familiarity presents itself. Are you as familiar with the Bible as you could be or should be? It should alarm you when you hear unfamiliar passages of scripture read. Whether Old Testament, New Testament, Apocrypha, or the Dead Sea Scrolls, you should be aware of what was revealed and written in the past by those who worshipped and served our God, Yehovah, and His Son, Yeshua, Messiah. One day, this doubting, this seeing through a glass darkly, will come to an end. One day, you'll see all things clearly. But until then, you must search diligently the Scriptures. One day, when the eternal plan is revealed, you may ask, "How did all this avoid my understanding? Why was I caught off guard? How did this happen?" Or, "Why was not this prophesied?" Think of the shame you may feel. when Christ asks you, "Did you never read in the scriptures?"